The following programming is sponsored by D&D Media. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
All right, ladies and gentlemen from around the Delaware Valley, welcome to The Legal Show on WWDB Talk 860. We're sponsored by BridgeMed Legal. We've got a fantastic broadcast. We are on location at American Executive Centers. Attorney Joe Russo's on the program. How are you, Joe?
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
It's a pleasure.
You're in my backyard today.
We are in your backyard, although I'm down here more than I'm where I'm at. Of course, we have Dwayne Lassiter of Lassiter & Associates. Dwayne, how are you, sir?
Very good. How are you?
Fantastic, man. We got a great show. It's awesome that we get to talk law and business and all those things, but we like to start off talking a little football. Okay, now we're sponsored by Larry Schreiber and BridgeMed Legal, and we have to speak slowly in that area because he doesn't know much about sports. See, I got the mic now, Johnny. Just for our listeners around the Delaware Valley, Larry was taking nice shots at me. Now here I am. So Larry's got one of the biggest tailgates around down there at the ballpark, and
it was on the news.
Right? Yeah,
right? A couple weeks ago. That's right.
It was the last home game, so it was 3 weeks ago, and Annie McCormick came in and hit me up, and she wanted to interview us. On the 4, 5, and the 6 live, and it was fun. She's a doll.
Question: how long have you been doing the tailgate?
Oh, God. I got out of college in 93, and I started that year. So it's been 31, 32 years.
You mean 63? I know Sonny Jurgensen was the quarterback. but I asked that question because, there's many stages of, like, in other words, obviously we've been good. We've been, and we love the Eagles more than anything. But what's the difference in the tailgates? When we're not playing well,
angry,
really?
Yeah, angry. A few things. Number one, there's a lot less people that come when the Eagles are winning and everybody is excited for it. You have an awful lot of people that come to the tailgate and then end up leaving, half an hour beforehand to go home.
By the way, more alcohol is beyond. People drink more alcohol.
Yeah, it's true.
So there was a few angry tailgates earlier in the season, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
But at the end of last year, it was like insane.
Oh, my God.
Well, what happened was, actually, it's funny you say that. There was two games last year that were insanely cold and dreary and rainy. One was the San Fran game, which you thought would have been crowded.
I went to that game.
I was at that game.
Well, yeah. I decided not to tailgate that game, but a bunch of my friends still went. So I ended up not leaving 11 hours before kickoff like a putz. And I ended up going, about 5 hours before kickoff. And I just rolled up there with my dog and we tailgated for like an hour. And what I realized was there was 13 of us under a big tent. And it was bone chilling, and I was like, "I'm getting."
Well, that game was the beginning of the end.
It was.
Dwayne, you're a big Eagles guy.
I was.
Yeah, I mean, typically you watch the games mostly at home. I do. I mean, I watch it with my wife.
I do tailgates too.
Yeah. It's so much more pleasurable. Last year, it was a difficult. You could see it coming. We were 10-1.
Even with the wins, even when we were winning, you had that pit in your stomach knowing that we weren't that team. We weren't
something
the same team.
Off.
Yeah, you could see it.
Yeah,
we're all going, either we're the greatest team in the history of football.
Right.
That doesn't have to start playing until the fourth quarter. Or we got problems. And, of course, we saw we had problems. And that 49ers game was when the dominoes started to fall.
Tackling is all effort. So you were coaching, Joe.
Yeah.
So like if you're not rapping, it's 100% effort. The team quit on each other.
Oh yeah, it was weird because you got D-backs it's hard to watch.
10-2 this year feels a lot different than the 10-2 last year, right?
100%.
Like you said, a lot different.
This year I see a little bit of that in the Chiefs, to be honest. Even though they're 11-1, but I feel like it's
100%.
Right? They feel like the Eagles of last year a little bit to me.
100%.
Yeah. So as we talk about this year, okay, and obviously you can't talk about this. You could go all around. I mean, literally, when you look at the team, you can't start it without discussing Saquon Barkley. Now, I coached running backs, and I love the position. And in my lifetime, mm-hmm. The one moment that, you know, the Miracle in the Meadowlands too, with Sean Jackson and well, you know, Westbrook on the punt return, all those things. But, you know, I'm going to date myself here, but it's still before the Super Bowl was Wilbert Montgomery off tackle right to the house, right? What, in 1980. Okay, Joe, you were there. It was
78.
No, it was 80. It was. Was it? That was the game to go to the Super Bowl.
I heard about that. Oh, I wasn't born yet.
You weren't born yet. That's when I could kick your butt right then.
I missed a couple of them, Joe.
but my point was, I always loved Wilbert Montgomery. He was so much fun to watch. The problem with Wilbert was he weighed 180 pounds.
Yeah,
185. I was insulted. Of course, I was 16 years old at the time when people used to say Walter Payton was better than him. I'd be like, you're kidding me, right? But wow. Of course, as I got older, you know, Walter was one of the greatest to ever live. But you look at Saquon Barkley. I mean, the skill set the guy's got. I mean,
the package.
I mean, just. You know, just the whole total package. Yeah. Your thoughts, Dwayne?
Well, as you said that, I was just imagining. Imagine he was somewhere with a line for all those years in New York. Like, where'd he be statistically? The guy is amazing. He's an amazing running back. He's got it all. Vision. He's fast. He's power. He's got it all.
I mean, the vision, power. Like, yeah. I mean, it's weird.
No, I was just going to say, Bob, well, I think we would all agree, best free agent signing ever for the Eagles. Right up there. Originally, I thought a little bit about T.O. and, you know, in 2004 when they bring that type of impact. But I think Barkley's even surpassed the impact T.O. had.
I think there was one better signing. Nazia Asamoah.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah. Well, I'm playing.
That's on the other end, but it's probably.
Which, by the way, right. I do have a trivia question. Who else was signed the same day he was, and it was a Philly?
What year was that again?
I don't remember.
A Philly.
It was a Philly that was the best signing, one of the better signings the Phillies had.
Oh, the Phillies.
Yeah, it was a Philly signing.
Bryce Harper?
Nope. No, it was the same day he got signed.
Oh, okay.
Asamoah. Okay. Did you guys give up?
I think it was, when was he signed, around 14?
Hunter Pence.
Oh, let's eat.
You like that?
Oh, yeah.
That's a great signing.
Well, it was a great signing.
Asamoah was part of that dream team.
Yeah.
You know what's in my opinion? You know who's a better signing than Barkley this year? Dotson. Oh my God! He did make the greatest catch of his life on that onside kick.
He did.
You know that game that we just had.
Yeah.
That we just played against Baltimore was one play away from us losing.
A Hail Mary.
Yeah. Dotson. Sucked that right up right there. So that was.
He seems to have not picked up the offense for whatever reason.
Well,
they got him late.
He's a first round draft choice for Washington, and now we're kind of seeing. I guess when you have our wide receiver set, you know, it's hard to get. But he's a slot receiver.
Howie can't hit on them all. He's hitting on a lot though.
He made his money the other day. But I could just see the Washington Commanders. Two, like, you know, with no time left and Jackson throwing that ball into the end zone. I mean, we'll take it. It was a big win. But when you look at the Eagles, you look at that the two cornerbacks we got, the kids in the draft. God. I mean, mother of God. I'll tell you, bomb. The guy, the middle linebacker who was a edge rusher, average edge rusher, special teams guy.
Yeah, that's what I thought he was.
Like that to me, right?
Yeah,
he is. That was a great signing.
And of course, the Georgia guys, Nolan Smith, Carter, and Davis all matured around the same time.
Yeah, Carter, who we were talking about a little off the air.
They're holding him every play, too.
Aaron Donald. He's probably
No question. I think, though, when I think about Aaron Donald, to me, it doesn't seem like he has a complete screw loose. I mean, Jalen Carter, there's no stopping that guy. Remember about a month ago when the whole team was trying to get him to chill out?
Right.
He wasn't even there. There was no stopping him.
Right.
I actually said to my wife, I said, you know what, hon? They should bring his mom to the game and sit her there and goes, because the only way to probably control that dude when he goes off, you know, because if that guy goes off, there's no stopping.
So bring her into the stadium after the game.
I'd bring her into the stadium.
Let him do
Carter.
Right.
We need you right now. But anyway, it is a festive time. I asked that question about the tailgate because I wonder And I know it goes in cycles and all that stuff, and you can never, never, never know when the injuries are going to happen. And when they happen, you know, the bottom drops out. But you got to wonder a little bit about how – you got to wonder how some of these other organizations like Cleveland, like those people are in there. Are they tailgating? Like what's that tailgate like, you know, and I'm talking about decades strong, like
consistent losing. I know.
Well, those lean years, I'll tell you, the most fun for me is when the team was just they bottomed out and they just started, you know, ascending. That when you have hope for the future, that is one of the more fun periods of being a fan.
Yeah,
because you get to be there from the very door from the beginning. And you get to see, you know, the rise and going from 4 wins to 7 wins right. to the year at making the playoffs. And you see that grind and that growth.
But you need the low, some low round draft choice or some free agents that weren't expected like this bomb. And you need the N'Kobe Dean, like that guy. There's another guy who.
Yes, sir.
When we drafted him in the third round, I saw him in a national championship game. I'm like, man, I would love to have that. Then we got him and Davis. Like if I had a fantasy at that after that game, I'd be like, I love that. Those. But then he comes into the league. He gets hurt. He plays special teams the first year. Okay, gets hurt the second year, but he's doing it. And so you need guys that, in a sense, were either counted out or you don't expect to step up. Like, and then you get a free agent signing. Like, you know, like the T.O. is a good example. It's a good example. But when you see when you see Saquon Barkley make that jump, Dwayne, I'm going to say one thing to you. There's only a couple of us that could do that.
Couple
of us, Jordan. Right? Not me and him. I can't think of another damn soul. He didn't get that at first, did you?
Right.
You know, I think he's the MVP. I don't know how you guys feel, but I think
he's got.
I know they don't.
Josh, what's his name?
The last time the running back got one, I heard was 2012, Adrian Peterson.
And we've never had one.
We've never had one. I just heard that the other day.
Well, they said that on the telecast, but actually, somebody I heard on the radio, he said. They said Sonny Jurgensen in like the 60s actually did win one. So, they said it on the telecast that they didn't, but then somebody actually.
Joe was in high school at the time.
I was just getting out of college.
Modern era.
I just finished up my iron workers apprenticeship at the time.
It's been a weird year for the Eagles, though. And what you were saying, Ladder Ho, I feel like the hope's like now just coming back. Everybody's starting to feel like they're a true contender. But early in the year, there was still aftermath of the collapse last year. And even the last time, when I was with you guys the last time, about a month or so ago, I think it was right after the Jacksonville game. And that was, you remember, they pulled that game out, but it was you still heard the calls from Sirianni's head back then. Yeah. You know what I mean? So in a month or so.
So you're talking about that. We got a couple minutes. We'll finish up this conversation. But I think that Sirianni, after that game, I don't know if you saw my posting on Facebook. I'll post the shows on Facebook, but I'll on occasion put a couple one-liners. It's either Phillies or Eagles. And we won the game, but there's a guy on national TV who imploded and almost cost his own team the game.
Yeah.
Okay, Sirianni going for two. I mean, literally.
He left 9 points on the board.
He left nine points on the board, and we were one interception away. Okay.
That's the last game I was at this year, and half the stadium probably wanted him
fired.
Gone after that game, even though they won.
We lose that game, he might not make it to the tunnel.
Fired. Mm-hmm. I think he would have got fired.
So somebody took him, I guarantee you, his wife, his father, Howie.
Whoever he listens to.
And Jerry, and Jeffrey Lurie. Somebody took him and said, buddy,
right.
I'm not trying to get in the middle of your stuff here,
right.
But you got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
There are some times when you go for it, but you just don't go like this, You know, like flipping the coin.
Right. Yeah.
So he clearly has matured.
Definitely.
You know, and that is you know, because you can't be trusted with an NFL franchise if you can't make those calls.
And he hasn't brought his kids up either since then.
Oh, yeah.
He hasn't, because he brought the kids up And he got a huge backlash from that as well.
He did. He
Barkley's helped him a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, Barkley's made it a little easier for him.
By the way, Kelce went to bat for him. A lot of players went to bat for him and stood up for him. We won the game.
Players like him. It seems like
love him. Yeah. They say, yeah. He, you know, it's interesting. I was watching an interview with Saquon, and he said, at first, when I played for the Giants, I hated him. He goes, all he would do is mug for the camera, and he was smug and yada, yada, yada. And then what he said, interestingly enough, was he said, now I'm here, I really care for him. He goes, he's one of the only coaches that has an open-door policy that actually listens to his players.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, so all that a couple weeks ago, right, within a month, okay, this guy goes from absolute, really what was offensive was – like they had that, is it First Take or what's that round table show that Buddy Ryan's son's on? And the guy called him a clown show.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't ever hear anybody say that about a head coach in the NFL.
No.
So he was the laughing stock of like standing. He it was one
nationally.
Nationally.
Yeah.
And so he literally speaking, he has turned it around.
Yeah.
I saw the stat, Joe. I'll share it with you. I think I saw it on Facebook. He's only the seventh coach in history to go start three straight seasons 10-2.
That's right.
And some of the other names were the top. It was Belichick.
That's my point was. Here's a guy. A month ago was the laughing stock at the end. Was almost fired.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Before he hit the tunnel.
Right.
Right. And if you would have said to me that day, fire him, even though we won, let's get rid of him. He can't be trusted. Well, guess what? And then you look at his stats.
No,
like they're unbelievable.
It's impressive.
Made a Super Bowl. I mean, so I'm glad to see that. I don't want to speak too damn loudly, but you know, thank God. So anyway, guys, let's do this. Let's talk a little law and medicine. Joe, as our co-host on the broadcast today, a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Russo Law Firm. I'm a solo practitioner. I've been doing it for 6 years now. On my own. Prior to that, I worked with Christopher Giddings, who we've talked about, Joe.
Yeah.
I think, Dwayne, I think you know Chris, right? Yeah. So
he's got that 15-second commercial on the Eagles game. It's a pretty smart thing right there.
Yeah. But, yeah, personal injury is our main focus. We dabble in some other areas, but personal injury is definitely our main focus. Motor vehicle accidents, slip and falls. We've been operating out of right here, 1515 Market Street, since we started. American Executive Centers, as you can see.
That's right.
What's your thoughts on the place?
I'll tell you what my thoughts on the place are. Unbelievable. We got the best view in the house, except I'm looking at you three guys. you guys got the best.
On my nice suit.
Exactly.
You look
great. Hold on. I should just do it like this. But it is awesome, and it's a cool place. Shout out to everybody here at American Executive Centers, Ryan Dugan.
Yes,
in particular, who made this happen. But, he had a little accident. He's doing better, but damn.
Yes, prayers out to Ryan.
Thoughts and prayers. Dwayne, if you will, a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Sure. Philly guy. I do personal injury as well. Been at it about 15 years now. We do some of the same work, slip and falls, car accidents. A little bit of Mad Mal and, you know, dabble in some other things, but it's all injury specific and focused.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Dwayne, how long have you been up here in this office? About the same
amount of time.
About 6 years or so?
About 6 years.
I feel like you've been up here since I've been
here. About 6 years.
Larry Schreiber, a little bit about BridgeMed Legal, if you will, sir.
Thank you, Joe. BridgeMed Legal, I've been in the space 30 years in the med legal space, so I have a pretty large network of doctors and attorneys that I'm blessed to consider my friends. Bridge Med Legal, we have about 350 doctor offices in 7 states that we represent, and we help attorneys find medical treatment for their clients. We're very, very helpful when you talk about the counties and different places, not necessarily in the Philadelphia metro area. But we cover, you know, our strong states are Pennsylvania, Delaware, New Jersey, Maryland. Those are the states that we basically cover.
And your services, talk about how they work with the attorneys.
So attorneys sign up cases. And then they send us either a text, an email, and they ask us to set up medical treatment for their client. And we have an intake team that does that via text or email. And our group of network is special due to the fact that everybody in our network is well versed in personal injury, workman's comp, slip and fall. So that specifically comes in handy when you have you need your case worked up properly. So a lot of attorneys allow their clients to choose their own medical treatment, and the problem with that is they might go to their primary care physician,
right,
has no clue about how to help the client build a case up with diagnostic studies, EMGs, MRIs, you know, whatever the case is,
and babysitting the case with the attorney, you know,
100%, as well as knowing the billing, because each state is completely different with billing and how to proceed with billing.
Specialists,
we everything, neurologists, ortho, pain, podiatry, hand, spine surgeons. So we cover the gamut, and a handful of our offices, I would say close to a third of them, are multidisciplinary. So once you send it to them, they'll take care of everything.
Preferential treatment for your attorneys?
That's without a doubt. But we also help the attorneys. It's a free service for the attorneys.
Well, no, I was just going to say, Larry's company is very valuable service for the attorneys, especially attorneys like me and Dwayne, yeah, that are, you know, specializing in this personal injury field. Just some of the things he just mentioned are, you know, so important to attorneys. They just make our, you know, jobs easier to help the clients.
You know what's really, I'm sorry, but what's really special is we deal with some of the bigger firms, and we also deal with a lot of guys that are small solo practitioners that don't have the infrastructure to spend 20 minutes, a half an hour Googling chiropractor in, you know,
or a medical department. You know, a lot of, you know, I mean, typically speaking, that takes the place of the entire somebody's medical department. You have some firms that spend a lot of money on a medical department.
Team of paralegals, intake.
Right? That exactly. So let's talk. You know, so there's so much, you know, to talk about, and certainly this is a interesting time of year. Okay, boutique firms. Okay, like yourselves, what are the benefits? Okay, of a client. You know, like, you know, obviously this is a big world. This is a big city. There's great attorneys everywhere. Talk about the benefits of a boutique firm like yourself when you know, somebody's injured and how it benefits them. Dwayne?
Great question. One of the benefits is you need to establish that trust and that relationship with your attorney, because you know, when you get to the end of your case and they're bringing you an offer or, you know, giving you some advice, you want to know you can trust it. So, you know, you usually will have more access if you're dealing with a boutique firm.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
Communication, personalized service between the attorney and client.
Because one of the biggest issues you hear is, especially when it's a big firm, there's three layers before you get to the damn...
A client can't get their attorney on the phone. Yeah, it's the communication thing. That's one of the that's one of the biggest things I'm on, having that line of communication with the clients, which I think with a small solo or small firm you get that you don't necessarily get with the bigger firms, which, you know, not to say, I mean, the bigger firms have may have some other issues to deal with. You know what I mean?
Sure. Right. Well, you know, when you're dealing with insurance companies, okay, what should they know about you? Like, in other words, you're representing your client. Give me an idea of when you walk in, you're representing your client. What should they expect? Not the client, we'll get to, but, right, you know.
The insurance company?
Yeah.
Well, the insurance company should expect from your lawyer that they'll take the case all the way. So no matter what size you have, they'll fight you all the way. You know, that's what they want to know, because that's how they're going to determine how they're going to handle you and deal with you, and that you know what you're doing.
Well, it's interesting you say that.
And Dwayne, you probably had cases – and, you know, the time in your firm, sometimes you have to show them you're willing to take it that way, you know, that you will fight it to the end, because sometimes the, you know, an insurance company's, because you don't have the reputation of a bigger firm, they want to see you're willing to do, you know, maybe this guy's might be easier, we could lowball him or something that, but you do, sometimes you just have to take the stand just to show them that you're willing to,
and not a pushover.
How often do cases you know, go to court. I mean, I heard not, you know, I mean, generally not obviously not the majority of them, but.
Well, court or trial, I mean, I guess it's a different thing. I mean, the amount of cases you may have to file into litigation and put it into court, but I think the percentage of cases that go all the way to like a full trial is pretty small, in the single digits.
Well, let's talk about a contingency fee agreement. Mm-hmm. Okay. People are listening to this broadcast and they may sit here and go, I can't afford these guys. Right. And certainly, if they had to pay you by the hour, especially for a, you know, a personal injury case of any magnitude, right, it'd be very difficult for them. What is the contingency fee agreement?
Well, it essentially says that the law firm only gets paid if you get paid, essentially.
So no out-of-pocket costs when they walk in for the consultation?
No out-of-pocket. And if you're not successful in the case, you don't get money from them. Typically, I've seen jurisdictions where they do, but here in Pennsylvania, typically, if no success, you don't owe anything.
Yeah, the attorneys take all the risk on the cases. Yeah. We put out all the costs.
When you went to law school, though, really, I'd like to know. Like, when you went to law school, when did you learn
They didn't
that?
Teach us that. No. Yeah, no. We had to eat
like,
costs.
That's how it works?
They didn't tell you that was part of the business sometimes.
You're not getting paid. How long's the longest personal injury case you ever represented? Before you, before you settled or went.
Yeah, that's a good question. Let me. I can think a minute.
But by the way, Joe, I'm going to have a lot of good questions. Just so you understand, I'm outstanding. longest.
I'll tell you. Sorry to interrupt you.
No,
but,
please.
During COVID, when they closed the courts, there were cases taken small cases took 4 and 5 years because they were put towards the back of the line. It was weird. The newer cases that were coming in were going before the older cases.
No, that's right. That's
a lot of those were taking a
probably
long time.
4 or 5 years, I would say. Like you said, and some were just smaller. Right. It wasn't necessarily large case. Well, it could have been a small.
Larry, let me ask you a question about your services and the medical providers, because somebody may not have personal coverage or not a lot. They get in an auto accident. It's awesome that they don't have to pay out-of-pocket costs for their attorney. Talk about what is there?
The providers?
Yeah.
So, no. I'm going to speak specifically in the Pennsylvania area for MVAs. There's nobody charges. I've never heard of a medical provider charge a client for anything.
And your clients obviously don't.
I've never in my 30 years have ever heard of a doctor even thinking about doing that, because that would be the last case they would have ever gotten, and their reputation would be, because that's not the way the business is done.
Well, is that why, though, a lot of family doctors don't touch this stuff? Like, in other words, they're not, I've heard stories where people go to their family doctor, and the family doctor, once they find out, I went to a Jefferson Hospital about in the middle of the summer. I hurt my ankle getting out of bed, because when you're 35 years old, anyway, one of the first things they asked me was this an auto accident or a work injury, right? Why don't family doctors or
in Pennsylvania, there's MVA PIP protection is a $5,000 cap. So you will have a bucket of money, $5,000, and it can pay for anything for if you go to the ER, ambulance ride, but usually the physicians are happy to accept you with the cap or whatever is remaining, and then after the cap is done, it will become a letter of protection case where the attorney will send a letter of protection saying that they'll make sure that the doctor gets paid at the end of the case. So that's usually, the protocols of how.
But family doctors.
Family doctors usually, unless they dabble in it, and of course, and then we speak about dabbling. You never really want to dabble. You want somebody just not, who specializes.
They're not familiar with how this. Like you said, we all kind of know how this 100%. System works, and you kind of want people involved from the beginning of the case that understand. It's a certain system, the way it, like you said, it's not even something that the average person, I don't think, would understand.
The reason I asked that question also is because how could even unless a client walked into your offices, they could not even find Larry Schreiber or any of the doctors. They, you know, it must be a culture shock when you go into your family doctor, and we come from the neighborhoods, us guys. Larry's,
elitist from South Jersey,
right? But we all come from the neighborhoods. We know who our family doctors were. We've been going to them since we were kids, right? If we walked in, I don't know what I would do or I would have done, right? If I walked in and my doctor said, I'm not treating you. What? So it's a very unique medical situation. Is it true that without, I've heard personal injury attorneys say, no medical, no case. So in other words, you get somebody who's in a bad way and they've, you guys must be as personal counselors as much as you are legal counselors.
Definitely.
So if somebody's in a situation and they're depressed and they don't want, how often does it happen where you have to, in a sense, hold somebody's hand at least at one point? And I've heard of a situation where I just couldn't get out of bed to go to my treatment, for the last month.
Right.
How bad can that impact a case?
It can have a severe impact because you have to document your damages. So if you're not documenting them, it's like it never happened. So if you never go to the doctor, then, the implication is that you didn't go because you weren't feeling pain and you didn't have complaints. So there's your case.
There's no injuries.
Yeah, it's no injuries.
Yeah, damage is one of the biggest.
What about during COVID, though? I mean, there was a lot of people back then. It was a little complicated.
They were open, though.
Yeah, that's a good answer, by the way.
Some did telecommunicate, right?
A lot of doctors who I dealt with pre-Bridge Med Legal, I have a DME company and durable medical equipment, and what I shockingly, they did a lot of doctors did telemedicine. You were spot on, Joe. But what they really, they also did was
wait a minute, what Joe? Which one?
By the way, the good looking Joe.
I know.
We gotta get
nicknames to distinguish ourselves for the listeners.
So what was interesting was we drop shipped an awful lot of TheraBands and different type of rehab equipment for the patients, so they can do some of the rehab at home. It was an interesting time.
So,
Joe, real quick, please, just before you go on a different point, just because I wanted to talk about something you brought up about the medical if a client doesn't have a medical, because that does happen sometimes. A client may not have that PIP coverage, their insurance lapsed or something like that.
Yeah.
So they could still treat with the doctor, and it would obviously be helpful to have like a doctor through Larry's company or something like that, and where they would accept the letter of protection from an attorney from the onset of the case. So where even with that $5,000 coverage not being there, they could still treat and they could accept the letter of protection and still get paid. With the third party.
What is a letter of protection?
Basically, I'm going to let the attorneys answer.
Like a promise to pay.
A promise?
At the end of the case.
Yeah.
If you have success on the case.
Which in a sense.
That the attorney will protect the doctor's fees if there's a settlement from the case that the doctors will get paid.
Got you.
At a client settlement.
Ultimately speaking, I guess, in some of these sense, these cases can last a while.
Yeah.
I mean, typically speaking,
the doctors take some risk too.
Right.
That's what I'm, because if there's no settlement, they might not get paid.
If the case blows up, and it was interesting. Compliance is such a huge, huge component for this because just as we were just speaking, if the patient doesn't come in for their treatment plan, the adjuster looks at it and they're like, well, I guess you're not really hurt.
Right.
Well, my question, so it's interesting. How important is it for you got a lot of doctors, okay, and reputable doctors, and I get it, you require standards for them doctors, obviously, to be in this market. So, in other words, it's a very unique and injured workers, negligent personal injuries. So that, however, they must rely on you to make sure that you're working with good attorneys.
1,000%.
You're talking 1,000%. About you guys. So you mentioned dabblers a couple times, right? So you're not messing with dabblers either. Like, in other words,
no, this is full time. These guys live in the space that we speak of, in the med legal space.
And what I'm saying is, to keep your credibility,
100%.
How important is it to be working with attorneys like these guys?
I'll tell you something.
Who aren't dabblers in what they do?
Well, it's actually I usually don't deal deal with dabblers. I definitely don't deal with them in the medical end as far as the doctors go, because they can absolutely blow up, you know, their case.
Well, you require depositions and your doctors to go to bat for your
100%. And doctors usually like, you know, doing deps. It's one of the I guess the line items of revenue, if you will, for them. But the truth of the matter is that
not every one of them does. You know, not
everyone does, but almost all of our specialists do. I don't know.
Well, what I'm saying is, in your field, they do. But like, you would think a family doctor would say, "I'm in." Okay, but regular doctors,
they'll destroy a case because they'll be deposed and I mean, you guys would know. They can shred them on depositions because they just don't have them. They don't have the tools to combat it.
Yeah. Right.
So guys, let's talk about, you know. So we do a lot of, you know, MVAs, okay, and we're going to get into, just so I want to say this to Dwayne and Joe, and I might have said this before. As we get into the auto accident situation, you don't have to worry about me. I have full coverage. Okay, I'm good. All right, right I know right. exactly what that is.
Right,
I got it totaled. I got I'm sure. I guess you know why? Because I know that all brokers are taking care of us. And
you've spoken to enough attorneys over the years.
Oh, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Quick read.
And another reason why I know I'm in good hands. Right.
Right.
Well, at the Rogers rate, and of course, every time Tyrese Maxey comes on after the game, he'll be sitting there and he's what's better than winning, beating Boston? Cure Auto, right? God bless Cure Auto. I don't care. What I'm saying is, I tell my wife immediately,
right,
get our broker on the phone. I'm going with Tyrese.
Right.
Nobody ever talks about bodily harm or anything like that. They talk about bundling. They talk.
Right.
How many people don't know what type of insurance they have?
Joe, we've talked about this off. And Dwayne, you could speak to it. It's probably the majority of the public does not know what they have on their insurance policy. Like, they come in, they don't know full tort, limited tort. They don't know underinsured, uninsured coverage, whether they have it.
But no idea. I would say 1% of the people know.
Well, the reason I bring it up a lot on our broadcast, because it's almost like an advocacy initiative.
Right.
Like, in other words, we're actually doing a PSA campaign with our Legends of Justice initiative to educate the public, on what they really need to understand about auto insurance. If your kid is driving his car or her car, it's like being on a tightrope.
Right.
And you think there's a net, but there's not.
Well, no, I was just going to say, Joe, when I was at my old firm, me and another attorney, we were actually started at a clinic where we would, like, educate the public, do it maybe, like, once a month on the weekend. Never got it off the ground, but because it's really unfair. It's unfair to the public that they don't know about this. The insurance agents are not providing this information to them when they're selling them the insurance. It's really unfair, and it's like a service that you said, if we could get it out there somewhat to the listeners to know a little bit more, because important.
We do the majority, if not 100% of the legal radio, okay?
Okay.
In the city of Philadelphia. It's a big, you know, we talk about the contingency fee agreement. That's important.
Right.
Why is that important? Obviously, you know, especially for people, the millions of people who have never been in an accident, they need to know they can get legal advice from top quality attorneys,
right,
and not dabblers. Okay, but let's look at, the auto insurance conversation. Okay, what don't people know? And I'll go to both of you.
Well, there's a lot here. Well, I'll give you one example for the uninsured coverage. And a lot of people, like I said, don't know whether, one, they have it.
Right.
Two, what type of coverage they have. I mean, generally speaking, you usually see they have the minimum coverage, which is like $15,000.
Right.
So for example, and this happens, unfortunately this happens. And
it's $15,000 spread out between three people though, right?
Well, if it could be between two or three people, yes. But if it's just an individual, they can only collect up to $15,000. So for a quick example on that, unfortunately there's too many people driving around this city with no insurance. You get severely hurt by somebody.
Or hit and run or something.
Yeah, hit and run, or somebody who stops but doesn't have insurance. Then you have to then go through your insurance to recover it through this uninsured motorist coverage.
Under an underinsured.
Yeah, so if this uninsured only has 15,000, you might be limited. You could be severely hurt, and you might be limited. That's what you could. I've had cases, unfortunately, where people, and a lot of times the people, the clients get upset with the attorneys,
right,
because they don't. They think we're doing something, but it's that's what the policy. So that's what the policy.
We're going to spitfire here: limited tort, full tort, underinsured and uninsured motorists. Right.
Right.
Why don't we hear that on after the Eagles game with the insurance companies that are coming on and you know, all those things. And by the way, PIP, okay? Larry, how much PIP can somebody run through at the emergency room?
Oh, God. They could eat it. It depends on testing.
Yes,
they could eat it all up. The ambulance ride could be $1,200.
Right. Exactly. So
Jersey's a little – Jersey has a high PIP.
$250, but I heard they – they want a verification for, you know, going.
Yeah,
to
it's a little bit more.
Jersey's brutal.
I hear that.
They challenge it.
Everything.
Yeah. Dwayne, when you, the first thing you said was 1%, right? You were talking about 1% of the people know what the hell we're talking about right now, right?
Correct.
Okay, which means 99% of the people that walk into your office and, you know, I got a picture on my phone I saw one time with this hot, smoking hot girl, right? Oh, that's the other one. No, no. And she's got a sign. I got full coverage at a discount rate.
Right.
I mean, this is like, you know, it's and I obviously knew what it was at the time. I had a couple of shows, and I'm like, look at how far they go in a sense to mislead.
Right.
It's always about the price.
Because that's the first thing people say. I have full coverage. I have everything.
And they have no
hold on. Who would say something like that, Dwayne? Exactly.
Right. I have full coverage. And I'm like, well, full coverage can mean a lot of things. You know,
they got full coverage, but they're limited tour. They waived uninsured, underinsured coverage.
Right. So you kind of have nothing.
Well, guys, let me ask you a question. What's that conversation like? You know, here I am, Joe, I'm walking in. I'm like, I know, but I got good coverage. I got a big policy. Right. And now you're looking at the policy, and you got to break it to them.
Well, it's a eureka moment for a lot of people. And, you know, sometimes you'll see somebody come back around with another accident, and they heard you and changed stuff. Sometimes you'll see them come back around. It's the same.
I do that at the end of every case with my clients. I kind of give them recommendations on what they should do going forward. Yeah. On their policy, just because
that's smart.
Yeah, I do. I give them
great service.
Well, yeah, I mean, educate them. I everybody might say, if we could bring Johnny Cochran back, okay, he couldn't do anything about, like, if you don't have the right coverage, a lot of people might sit there and go, well, I got the best attorney going, right?
And,
limits are the limits.
And like I was saying earlier, they get upset with. They get upset with us. They get upset with their attorneys. But there's nothing.
Oh yeah.
We could do.
I wonder how many. You know what? Screw you. I'm going to go find it.
By
all means. But the next after they call the other attorney and find out that you know you were 100% right.
Right.
The next call should be to their buddy, okay, their broker. Right
that
now.
Told them the insurance.
That's right. Now a lot of people do it online, okay. And therefore, and you got to uncheck boxes. So, you know, and I'm sure you're looking at it. I'm sure you're looking at it and you're going, oh, look, every box I uncheck, it goes down, you know?
Right.
And it's just set up to be
a failure,
to be a failure.
And it'd be tough to, I mean, it's be tough to educate over the, you know, 1 hour radio program because there's,
A lot that goes into it, but
I mean, we try to like bring some awareness to. You should look into these things.
Well, ask yourself a question. I know you guys know the answer. How many people in Philadelphia are uninsured? If you get hit by one of them and you have minimal coverage, or you don't have underinsured or uninsured motorists, you're screwed.
Yeah, screwed.
So, how many people in Philadelphia, okay, don't have insurance or are completely underinsured? I mean, I don't mean exactly. I need an exact number, Dwayne.
I was going to ask Dwayne what his estimate was on that.
I mean, percentage 800,654.
I would say 90% of the people.
Wow.
Easy.
I was going to say, I don't want to embarrass the great citizens of
Well, they need, or they
I
need
assume
to be.
It's the worst. I hate to say it. I assume it's the worst.
Yeah. So the reason why people need to be, I've done these shows a lot, and I remember saying to my wife, karma's a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm going and getting the right amount of, because I'm going to get myself, I'm going to get in an accident and it's going to happen. And, you know, so I did. I mean, it's not much more money, right? I mean,
protect yourself. Don't rely on other people's insurance. Correct. Protect yourself. Yes. I mean, if you have to pay a little extra money now, it can come in.
Exactly. And by the way, I always say, if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your kids, your family.
Yeah. Right.
Because they get affected too, right? Your passengers.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
So you don't know you're not covered.
Correct.
How many, you said 90% of the people walk in there and they think they're protected and their family's protected.
Right.
But they're really not.
Right.
The insurance companies, real quick, they should do more to educate. That's my opinion. They just
that's
don't.
That's not an opinion. No, that's a fact.
They want to.
Yeah, they don't want to. No, exactly. But, I mean, really, they should do more as well.
Absolutely. We only have 10 minutes left, but I do want to ID the show. You listen to the BridgeMed Legal Show, the legal show on WWDB Talk 860. Joe Russo and Dwayne Lassiter are our guests on the program, great attorneys from Philadelphia. Of course, Larry Schreiber and BridgeMed Legal are our sponsors. We're talking auto insurance, but and personal injuries. What should somebody do if they get in an auto accident? What are the first things they should do at the scene of the crime if they can? Dwayne?
Well, evidence is always great. So one of the first things I would do is take pictures. Ideally, if you could take pictures of where the vehicles are positioned, that's great, especially if it's not your fault. If it's your fault, you may not want pictures. But take pictures, get all of the information from the other party, name, picture of a license, insurance information.
License plate, obviously.
License plate. And witness names if you can. You see anybody around and say they saw the accident, I would ask them if they're willing to be a witness for you.
I was just going to say, it used to be maybe to call the police, but now the police, they don't come out unless it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that was my... Unless it's a catastrophic case. Okay.
Right.
They won't come.
They won't come out nowhere, no.
Is it required that somebody go to the police station to the district to...
So I would recommend... if you are in a hit and run, I would recommend going into a police station to make a report.
If they don't come out.
Yeah, if they don't come out. And also, if it's like a, if the other guy is saying, hey, you did this, you ran the light, but you know you didn't run the light, I might go in and make a police report also.
Yeah, I think
you don't want their
I think I agree with Dwayne there. I was actually going to ask you, what do you do? Because a lot of sometimes clients do ask me, should I or should I go? And then kind of base it on the situation. Sometimes it's not necessary for them to go at that point. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like Dwayne said, there are a couple instances, I think, where you should maybe recommend, just so it's on the record.
Yeah, a lot. Larry knows my wife. If you met her, she has a scar right here. Mm. When we were kids, somebody rear-ended us.
Oh, wow.
And it wasn't a bad one. Like that, we were up on Princeton. We were right up on Frankfurt Avenue making a left on the Princeton. There was a left arrow, and it did not turn. But the other, when the people next to us turned, the kid in the back of us took off because he must have been looking at the girl next to him, and she took off, so he did. He hit us. She didn't even feel it, okay? My wife, I mean, it didn't seem like a catastrophic injury.
Right.
But it wasn't like he was going 75.
Right.
He was going like 15, 20. But it didn't start to hurt her, till a couple of weeks after, to the point where we never even went to a lawyer. We didn't even know, we weren't even thinking. She ended up, it exploded within a year, and all that entire year, she had issues with her neck. And so you're looking at a potential situation where it doesn't seem catastrophic. Larry, is that, in your profession, is that a normal thing for people not to feel the pain right away?
Sure. A 1,000%. I was in a car accident where somebody hit me from behind, and when I got out of the car, I was a little stiff, a little sore. but what happened was the next day I was in a lot of pain, and I ended up going to a friend of mine who's a chiropractor, and he's like, did you get in a car accident recently? And I said, yeah. He goes, you have a little whiplash. He says, that's what it was. And I had no clue. I mean, it was a small little accident.
Let's do this. We only get 5 minutes. just the way Larry's always, you know, making fun of me. Just the way you put it. Well, that happened to my wife.
A lot of clients do tell you over the first few weeks, you know, the pain progressively gets worse. You don't necessarily feel it.
It was shocking. What should somebody not do at the scene of a crime? I'm not a crime, an accident.
Not I noticed the Piaggio. Not refuse the breathalyzer test. Yeah, I'm dealing with a couple of criminal cases now where, don't refuse the breathalyzer test. That can jam you up worse. Even if you're drunk, you're looking at a 12-month suspension if you do that. Even if you beat the criminal case. So,
but
you made me think of that one.
But you know, when somebody, you know, we talked about what you should do. Okay, obviously you want to get the evidence. You want to do all those things. If there's no police officers that come in, the city of Philadelphia, obviously that's the policy. But in other areas, you know, they come. But what? And I'm gonna throw something. You mentioned uninsured, not insured motorists, right? Well, you could be in an adversarial situation with your own insurance company. Sure. Should you not be making statements before you talk to legal counsel?
I wouldn't make a statement at all. Your insurance company should support you, but you need help. You know, you should get you some advice before you start talking to people, because they record that stuff and it goes a long way.
Yeah, I agreed.
I'll give you an example. I was talking to a friend who was in an accident the other night, and he kept starting at, yeah, well, I got to the stop sign. I stopped. I looked both ways. I went, and then I got into the accident. So, you know, I kind of pulled out, kept talking to him, and then I figured out he stopped a block away. So I'm like, why are you talking about a stop sign? Leave that out. It has nothing to do with the accident. Sure. And that's the kind of little stuff that can trip you up.
Yeah, I mean, and that's something you might hear. I mean, 6 months down the road, they play them recorded statements. Definitely. Even if it's your insurance company.
They'll use it against you.
They'll
use it against you. If they're able to pay less, they will use your own statement against you, for sure, 100%.
It just seems to me like, you know, when you're learning and being educated, okay, right, and you're in an auto accident, okay. Right. Listen, one of the reasons we do these shows also is when people are listening. I backed, I would say, the Whole Foods parking lot. It was a small one, right at 20th, or 20th Street, right before Spring Garden. It's no longer there. It's you know, they moved it, but and this lady, it was raining. My wife ran in to get something, and we touched bumpers, right. I mean, immediately I went blank, right? Like, and I didn't, and she was cool. There was no damage. Right. But what I'm saying is, it's, you know, when people get in these situations,
right,
they need somebody else to think for them, because a lot of these times, just the pure shock,
right,
of you know, an accident can be, you know, ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what I've noticed through my years. People get nervous sometimes, and they talk just to talk.
Yeah.
And when they do that, it opens them up to being, you know, to question.
Well, you always hear about the nicest, the adjusters are so nice, right?
So nice.
That's, you know, like, that is, would you counsel, like, if a client came to you? First of all, it's confidential, right?
Definitely.
If somebody came to you.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
And it's, there's no cost. So getting that, you know, we have a whole show that we left on the table about the things that happen to people when they try to do it themselves.
Right.
Okay, without legal counsel, and end up finding out that not everybody's on their side.
And you're probably right, Joe. That's a good point. I mean, even some people may not think to call an attorney right away. They don't need it. But even if it's just a call, like you said, we're not charging anything.
Right.
Why not make the call? Even if it's just advice. I know me and Dwayne would probably, I don't know about some of the bigger firms, but I'm sure me and guys like us, we would take the call and, you know, try to advise, even if, you know. Even
sure. Well, how many people have sat there and said, you know what? Ah, it's not me. I'm not litigious. 2 days later, like Larry mentioned, or my wife's situation, and now they find themselves, and my wife's a perfect example of a catastrophic situation. Yeah. What was so scary about that situation is that when she got the surgery, and this was the scariest thing I've ever been through. So it was a year worth of maybe even a little longer of pinched nerves every so often, right? Mm. this accident would be the classic, you know, the back in when it happened in the early 80s, the cops came, but it would be the classic they aren't coming, right? That you, right. you would have never thought. I maybe had a bump on my, you know, right. little dent in my, but it happened so often that they scheduled her surgery. The disc burst between then and there, and it was it burst on a day before the surgery, and it was a snowstorm 3 feet. It was the nerve was compressed for a long time. When they did the surgery, it took a month for it to get decompressed, and there was a couple weeks at that point where I thought to myself, she's not getting better, and I've never seen a person in that much pain. Thankfully, it happened.
Wow.
But for you know, that's why, and my point is, individuals that you represent, it, you know, like in other words, you never know what that
know.
It doesn't have to be a head-on collision. Guys, yeah. It's been the fastest hour in radio. Dwayne, if you will, contact information for yourself and the firm.
Sure. It's LassiterFirm.com. Telephone number 215-923-8833. Lassiter and Associates, Dwayne Lassiter.
Fantastic. Joe Russo?
Thanks, Joe. Russo Law Firm, LLC, 215-778-8437. Or you could get me at joseph.russo at russoslaw.com.
Russo's
with a plural, yeah. And also russoslaw.com website. You could, you know, there's forms on there to contact me as well.
Fantastic. Larry Schreiber?
www.bridgemedlegal. And the number is 609-332-0428.
All right. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to The Legal Show here on WWDB Talk 860. I want to thank Larry Schreiber, our sponsor, for making it happen at Bridge of Med Legal. Of course, Joe Russo for being our co-host, and Dwayne Lassiter of the Lassiter Firm. Yep. Thanks for being here. On behalf of everybody on our panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.